Save big money on your next painting project right now at Menards. Give your room a grand finish with Pittsburgh Grand Distinction Interior Paint. It's a premium paint and primer with a tough, resilient finish that is ultra-scrubbable and stain-resistant. Save big on Pittsburgh paint. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
I'm John Pastor. This is CBS Eye on the World. Bloomberg headline, China moves from contrite to confrontational over U.S. balloon. The balloon contest right now is engaged by diplomats around the world, the most recent from Beijing. Beijing's abrupt shift from expressing regret, writes Bloomberg News, to threatening retaliation over the U.S.'s spy balloon claims reflects the domestic imperative for Xi Jinping to show he's standing up for China against external pressure, further narrowing the window to reset ties before the U.S. election season gets into full swing. I welcome my colleague and co-host Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang and our colleague Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurier Institute. First, Gordon, to you, the ties that are addressed in the Bloomberg headline, reset what ties? What is the reference? Good day to you, Gordon.
Good day, John. Secretary of State Antony Blinken was supposed to go to Beijing, but he said that he was going to, quote unquote, postpone his trip because of the balloon incident. So in a sense, those ties were already fragile, and they've been made more so by this event.
And Charles, I come to you on this matter because the balloon flew not only over continental United States, from my understanding, from Montana to South Carolina, and not only over the Alaska Aleutian Islands, but over Canada. Has there been a response or a comment from Ottawa? Good day to you, Charles.
Good day. Well, I don't think there's been much response from Canada except post hoc to say that we had been aware of it, had been in consultation with the United States. But there's no explanation as to why Canada didn't blow it out of the sky when it was over uninhabited areas in Canadian territory. And I think it's yet again indicative of Canada's inability to protect its own sovereignty from foreign incursions. Clearly, if China had informed us in advance that they'd made a mistake with a very massive weather balloon, then maybe we could have considered that it was acceptable to be drifting over Canada. But the fact is, it was an unknown, unmanned aircraft that, you know, contains an enormous thing, which contains an enormous amount of surveillance equipment. And I think in terms of asserting who is in their sovereign territory, we should have blown it out of the sky. I mean, from, as you're saying, from the Bloomberg report, it seems to be about Xi saying to his cohort, look, we can drift a spy balloon right across the continental America, right across the United States from West Coast to East Coast. And people walking their dogs can look up and see that there's a Chinese surveillance object in the sky, and the U.S. won't dare to do anything about it for fear of queering some meeting between the U.S. Secretary of State, who is coming to Beijing to pay tribute to our government, that kind of thing. I can see the psychology of it. But ultimately, I think where this is going is leading us closer and closer to military confrontation over Taiwan and South China Sea and in the Indo-Pacific. So, you know, it seems sort of hilarious about floating balloons, but what it really is a sign of something very, very seriously wrong in geopolitics between China and the rest of the world.
A momentary puzzle, Gordon. The first reaction, as I understand it, over these last days, was Beijing to claim that this was a meteorological survey and that it blew off course because of force majeure, you know, winds that we couldn't control. There's said to be a second balloon over South America, and the same claim was made for that balloon. But then it's turned in another direction, this idea that Beijing is not apologizing but saying the U.S. is the aggressor. Does that surprise you, a flip within 24, 48, 76 hours, Gordon?
No, it doesn't surprise me, John. And even the more hostile language from Beijing, I believe, is relatively mild, considering what the possibilities that were open to Xi Jinping. I think it was sort of like a placeholder. I think that probably the Chinese political system right now is involved in intense discussions about how to deal with the rest of the world about this. And I think that we probably will see a third phase, and God knows what that will be, but I think it's coming.
You have a question for Charles Gordon.
Charles, you suggested that this was an intimidation move, or at least that was a possibility, and I certainly agree with you. Other people are saying that perhaps the Chinese military did this on its own, or maybe somebody in the Chinese political system wanted to, in fact, derail Antony Blinken's then-anticipated meeting in Beijing. Can you just sort of speculate about where you think what was going on in Beijing in the when they were first thinking of launching this balloon?
Well, I think that your analysis seems likely. You know, we really don't know what goes on inside Beijing in this regard, particularly with regard to the military. But there's no question that, you know, didn't leave the United States with much choice but to cancel the meeting after something so blatant and ridiculous as this. I mean, the balloon was making a tour of U.S. strategic sites. There may have been some intelligence benefit in the sense that maybe balloons are able to pick up on signals and communications that satellites cannot. But, you know, it does seem to have been very neatly timed to the visit by Mr. Blinken. And maybe it's indicative of some very ugly fascistic forces within China that are even more radical than Mr. Xi and hope for war over Taiwan.
Charles, I want to stay with the day after. The Blinken trip is canceled. Beijing is now making hostile remarks. We have a future here which is undetermined because China is said to be reopening. Do you see this to be a anecdote that will pass away for other events or something that is more profound in Beijing? I'm not talking about the U.S. or Ottawa, Washington or Ottawa. In Beijing, as a way of demonstrating their strength to their friends, you know, the audience for this, the public that doubts them, the party that's militaristic, and the neighborhood that it must intimidate. Do you believe this event will linger?
Well, I think it's certainly indicative of Beijing's idea that the world should be run out of the Middle Kingdom, the country with the mandate of heaven, and that this balloon is sort of a forebearer of what's going to come. It bears a lot of resemblance to the 30s and Nazi Germany's aggressive acts that led to a disastrous war. So, you know, I do think that it's a sign of something very seriously wrong in the worldview of the Chinese communists, an ideological approach, not a rational approach, and that this ridiculous affair of, you know, thinking that they could send a spy balloon from west to east and that the United States would just accept it passively indicates how out of touch with political realities in the West they are. I think that China did not expect that this matter would be made public, and possibly they thought that they could use it in the negotiations with Blinken to try and convince the United States to reduce surveillance of China's illegal military bases in the South China Sea. But that's all highly speculative. And I think once they've, you know, brought the thing out of the water and seen what its actual capabilities are, that should give some clarity as to any intelligence purpose of doing this at this time.
Gordon, do you also follow that this is a way of revealing Beijing's hand and that it will linger in their rhetoric?
This will linger, John, largely because right now I don't think that the political system in China is configured to have reasonable responses. Only the most hostile, the most belligerent responses are politically acceptable. And I do want to emphasize something that Charles just said, because I think it's one of the most important points, and that is that Chinese leaders right now have a very warped view of the world. They're living in a parallel universe, and that will lead them, in all probability, to extremely dangerous actions that probably will plunge this world into continual conflict.
We have a couple of minutes. You have a question for Charles Gordon.
Charles, what should the United States and Canada do at this moment?
Well, I mean, I think that we really have to be demanding some kind of response to whoever it was in China who decided to freely engage in incursion on Canada and the United States, that, you know, we can't just let it go. We have to respond in some sort of way. I mean, China may be making an aggressive stance that, oh my goodness, you destroyed the property of a Chinese company and therefore, you know, this violates some sort of laws. I, you know, it's a completely ridiculous argument, but I think that may be simply to defer us from doing the right thing, which is to demand accountability and make it clear to the Chinese that there are costs of engaging in this sort of activity and it has to stop.
Charles, the word retaliation in the Bloomberg report, is China that belligerent now to retaliate in some fashion, to shoot something down? We have 30 seconds.
I think what Gordon says is true. I think that it is possible that that could be the consequence. And it's, again, this sort of inexorable movement towards military conflict, which is sparked by the Chinese not understanding, how the world order functions and grossly underestimating the resolve and power of the United States to address China's attempt to dismantle the institutions that protect peace and promote prosperity in the globe.
And Gordon, we both recall that this dance of surveillance started with the shooting down of a Navy surveillance aircraft in 2001, right before the attack on the U.S. So here we are, 22 years later, and China once again has an opportunity to show how belligerent it is. Did you remember that, Gordon, when you heard about the balloon?
Yes. I mean, that was an accidental contact. But really, the U.S. response was in 2001 was feeble. We taught the Chinese that belligerence works. And history will say that America, of course, was not the aggressor, but made possible for an aggressor to act in ways to take down the international system. We are the England and France. England and France in the 1930s. We are the England and France of the third decade of the 20th century.
Charles Burton, McDonnell Laurier.
Couldn't agree more.
McDonnell Laurier Institute, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'll be here to hear what's on your mind.
Kids want to share what's going on in their lives with the adults around them. Parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, and more. They want to know you're listening, and they want to listen to you. They want your input and guidance, early and often, on all kinds of topics. When it comes to a serious subject like underage drinking, they want to know your expectations, as well as how and why, as a young person, they should avoid alcohol. How you talk about it will change as your child grows. But the important thing is to talk about it. Not just once for an hour when you think the time is right, but in 60 one-minute conversations and more that are part of your everyday talks. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. When you need me, I'll be by your side.